Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Am I on? Yeah, yes. Everyone can hear me all right?
Yes.
Good start. Okay, I want to just start this morning by just saying thank you to everyone for your prayers and your support ahead of today. I've really felt the love of all of my brothers and sisters in the church today. And it's nice to look out and see your smiles and your friendly faces. As I bring this word, it really has been an encouragement, so thank you. Some of you will know that we went away on a conference recently, and we went away for about, probably was about a month ago, 5 or 6 weeks ago, something like that. And we went away, and they brought a message at the start, before they even went into the scriptures. And I feel that the Lord is laid it on my heart for me to just do a similar thing today. And I know, of course, Pastor Tony and Tim have just, we've just acknowledged the presence of the Holy Spirit and that he's here today. But I really want us to just come expectant, not expecting, obviously, because I'm stood here, or it's a word from me, but it's a word from the Word of God. And there's power in the Word of God, amen? So we just acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit today, and we acknowledge that there's power in his presence. It only takes one word or one touch from him, and our lives can be transformed and changed forever. I was sat just over here just over 3 years ago, and I heard the message for the first time, and I put my trust in Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, and my life has been changed ever since. All right? The Word of God says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he delivered me from my sin, and he can do the same for you today. Okay, and he's here today, he's willing, and he's more than able. So I just want to start by opening up in prayer and just honouring the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. So Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks, Lord, for your Word. And Lord, I thank you that you've been preparing me to deliver this Word. Lord, I just ask that you empower me, anoint me afresh, Lord, to bring this word today. Lord, I just ask that you go before me and you speak into the hearts and minds of your people. Lord, that you will change and transform them from this word. Lord, I just pray and we acknowledge your Holy Spirit here today. Lord, we love you. We lift your name up high, just like we've been singing, Lord. We exalt you, and it's all about you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the most important message, I believe, is the message that I was spoken to, the message of the gospel, okay? Because it's the most important message, I believe, that Jesus is the name above every other name.
Amen.
But the gospel is the message above every other message, okay? It's the message above every other message. Now, I won't primarily be sharing the gospel today because it's to be assumed that the majority of the people in the congregation and even watching online are already saved, okay? But I will be sharing a word today, and I believe that the gospel primarily is for the people outside of the four walls. It's for the people that are lost, who are heading to a lost eternity. I believe that God has called me and he's called us all as individuals and a body, as a collective, to go out and proclaim that very important message of the gospel. I believe today the Lord is using it as preparation for me. This is an opportunity for me to speak in front of a large crowd. And for me, I believe personally, God is calling me to do this. He's preparing me for how he's going to use me in the future.
That's right.
Amen. And I believe that because I believe that God prepares his people. And that leads me nicely on to the title of my message today, which is nice and simple. It is God's preparation. So I'm going to be just diving into the scriptures now. I'm going to be going through quite a lot of scriptures today. And I just ask that you're patient and you just listen into the Word of God so we can all go on this journey together. And I'll try my best to share with you, we'll try and get across what I'm trying to share with you today. So I'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 48 through 51. Now this is where David defeats Goliath. So many of you will know this passages of scripture that I'll be reading. The Word of God says, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, and cut off his head with it. Then the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, and they fled. So I'm absolutely amazed when I read this part of scripture, because how could a young teenage shepherd boy defeat a war veteran, yeah, a giant like Goliath? How could he do it? Many of you know that I was in the army. I served 5 years in the British Army while I was in the infantry, and I'd done a 7-month tour in Iraq. And I was just a teenager myself when I was sent overseas to go and fight in Iraq. I was just 19 years old. But I was confident in my ability, and I wasn't scared, and I believe that is because I was prepared. I'd gone through a lot of training, about 6 months training at ITC Catterick up in Yorkshire, and then about another 3 months of pre-deployment training before I was sent overseas. So I'd been prepared. And the army have a motto. They say, train hard, fight easy. You see, the more that we train, the more that we prepare for something, when that day comes, the easier it will be, okay? And I believe that God prepares his people. So what I want to share with you today, we've just heard the scripture that David defeats Goliath. But what I want to look at today is what happened to David in the lead up to him being used by God in such a way that he could defeat Goliath. I've got 4 points to share with you today, and they're going to be echoed throughout my message. I believe that David was firstly chosen, second anointed, third prepared, and then fourth and finally he was sent. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 1. If you're turning there on your Bibles or on your phones, then I'll just give you a bit of context from chapter 15. Saul is currently king of Israel, but he's just been rejected by God because of his disobedience. So 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 1 reads, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king from among his sons.'" See, Jesse had 8 sons, but the Lord rejects the eldest 7, and he calls for them to go and fetch the youngest son, which is David. And David is currently tending to his father's sheep when they go and call for him, which is an interesting part of the story. So in chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, we're going to see that David was chosen and anointed by God before defeating Goliath. "And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward." David was chosen by God, and David was anointed with the Holy Spirit before defeating Goliath. I want to spend a little bit more time in the area of preparation because, as I mentioned, the title of my message is God's Preparation. Before God sent David to defeat Goliath, I believe that he was prepared. And I want to share this scripture with you that shows that David was prepared before defeating Goliath. I absolutely love this passage of scripture that shows that David was prepared through his trials. Sorry, before I share that piece of scripture, I'm going to paraphrase the rest of the story. So the Philistines are on one side of the mountain and the Israelites are on another. And there's a valley in between them where the battle is going to take place for David and Goliath. And the Philistines send out Goliath to challenge the army of Israel. And Goliath says, "Send a warrior to fight with me. If he wins, we'll be your servants. But if I win, you'll be our servants." Then Goliath taunts Israel, the army of Israel, for 40 days, and no one in the army of Israel will go and fight with him until David turns up. Now word gets out in the camp of Israel that David is willing to go and fight with Goliath, and that word gets back to Saul. I want to just share with you the conversation that happens between David and Saul. So Saul says in 1 Samuel 17:33 to 37, "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth.'" You see, Saul didn't have any confidence in David, and why would he? He wouldn't have any confidence in a shepherd boy going up against a giant like Goliath. But we're going to listen to David's reply, David's response to Saul, because I believe that David tells Saul that he has been prepared through his trials. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.' And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" David had convinced Saul that he was prepared through his trials. It's amazing, isn't it? We read parts of scripture sometimes, and we don't see the preparation, that how God was preparing David. I mean, what a challenge and what an obstacle that David was faced by. We all go through trials, don't we? We're all being prepared by God through our trials. But David had come up against a massive test, lions and bears. I mean, he was responsible for his father's flock, and he's having maybe night after night or week after week or month after month, he's having these lions and these bears coming up to cause havoc on his life, okay? And maybe at that point, David didn't realize in that moment that God was preparing him. And maybe we're going for a trial today and we don't see that God is preparing us. Maybe we don't see that. Maybe we're going for a trial and we need to look at the bigger picture. We need to look at the bigger picture when we're going through trials, because God uses trials to prepare his people. The word of God says that David ran quickly towards the battle line. He ran quickly towards the battle line. Some people might think that was a little nervous run, but I think it was a confident run. I think he was really confident. And I believe that David was confident. And again, the 4 points that I shared with you at the start, but with a little bit more detail, I believe that David was confident because he was chosen by God. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He was prepared through his trials, and then he was sent to do the will of the Father. Now, many of you will know that David was a type of Christ. He was a foreshadowing of Jesus. And I certainly see the parallel. And what I want to do now is share with you that, like David, I believe that Jesus went through these same 4 points. I believe that Jesus was chosen. I believe that Jesus was anointed. I believe Jesus was prepared. And then I believe that Jesus was sent to do the will of the Father.
Very good.
So John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus was chosen by God to be the sacrificial lamb. He was chosen by God to be the all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of humanity. And Jesus was anointed in Acts 10:38. The Word of God records how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And Jesus also was prepared. If we think back into the Gospels, Jesus spent 40 days in the desert where he was prepared through trials, and he was prepared to be sent out to fulfill the mission that God had called upon his life. And if there was anyone who has ever been sent to fulfill the will of the Father, it was Jesus. Jesus was sent ultimately to die for the sins of humanity, and he'd done just that.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus also fulfilled over 300 prophecies. in his first coming, and the rest of his prophecies will be fulfilled in his second coming. Amen.
Amen.
So as I said, David was a foreshadowing of Jesus. He was a type of Christ, but as we know, Jesus is the Christ. Yeah, Jesus is our Messiah, he's our Redeemer, and he is our Savior.
That's right.
Now, David defeated Goliath, but Jesus defeated sin and death itself on the cross at Calvary. So if David and Jesus were both chosen and anointed, prepared in order for them to be sent by God to fulfill their earthly mission, then what about me and you? What about us? Well, child of God, I want to tell you today that you have been chosen, but don't just take my word for it. Let's have a look and see what the word of God says, yeah? So Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
And Paul says in Ephesians 1:4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. If you're born again today, I want to tell you that you've been anointed by God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You see, we need God's anointing. We need God's anointing even to be in a place that we can endure the trials. Even before we go through that period of testing, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Very good.
And we need his power to fulfill our potential. We need his power to fulfill our potential. Amen. We don't need that when we're the finished article. We need that to become the finished article.
Very good. That's right.
So David was prepared. Jesus was prepared. They were both prepared before being sent by God. And God is also preparing each and every one of us. Now, there's no book of Sam, is there? James. Samuel. So, the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So we must all endure trials in our lives so that God can prepare us, God can refine us and perfect us so that we can also be sent. And we have been called to be sent. Okay? We've all been called to be sent. Jesus says in Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
Amen.
And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen.
So as I conclude the first part of my message today, I want to tell you that you've been chosen by God. Okay, we've seen that in the scripture. You've been chosen by God and you have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. And you have been prepared. You are being prepared and God is going to continue to prepare us. But why? Why is God preparing us? Because he has an earthly mission for us to fulfill. He had an earthly mission for David. He had an earthly mission for Jesus. And for each and every one of us, he has an earthly mission. And he has an assignment for us as a body of believers, but also as individuals. I want to tell you today that God has given us everything that we need to fulfill the plan that he has set out for our lives.
Amen. That's right.
If you need a fresh anointing from the Lord today, then ask him. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today, ask him and receive by faith the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Come on.
God is not stopping you from fulfilling your earthly mission. God isn't stopping us. And I know as soon as I say that God isn't stopping us from fulfilling our earthly mission, someone thinks, well, there is someone trying to stop us. But I want to tell you today, that devil, he's a liar and he can't stop you. Okay? He can't stop you. He has no power. He has no authority over you. He can't stop you. He couldn't stop David. He couldn't stop Jesus. And he can't stop you. He has no power over you. All right? Now, God isn't stopping you. The devil cannot stop you. Okay? But we can hinder ourselves. We can slow ourselves down by not allowing that our trials and our testing to change us. Okay? Now, we don't want to be a people walking around the wilderness being prepared for 40 years, do we? We want to be prepared when God calls us to be prepared. We want to go through our trials and we want to endure those trials with joy, even in those hardships, because we know that there's a greater calling for our lives. We understand why we're going through those trials, that we can be sculpted into the person that Christ has called us to be, and that we can be more like Jesus. So I want to say today that we need to acknowledge the fact that God is trying to change us. He's called us to be a certain type of people set apart from the world. We're to be the salt and the light in our community, in our workplaces, everywhere that we go. But we need to allow him to change us, to transform us, to refine us, to perfect us, because he has an earthly mission for us to fulfill. And if we want to hear the words of the Lord, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," as an individual, we need to take responsibility for the calling that God has placed upon our lives.
Amen.
Now, Jesus never said it was going to be easy, did he? All right, we're going to face trials, we're going to face testing, but it's for the glory of God, okay? It's so that we can become the people that God has called us to be. So my conclusion has come to an end, but I want to finish today by sharing with you an illustration, an analogy, of heaven. Okay? Just waiting for Tim to get off his tablet so he can give me the... I have a few props to put out just to help. Oh! That was the least of my worries today. Thank you, Tim. So I'm just going to put a few props out just to help me with my demonstration. Just have to clarify as well that the red carpet isn't for Tim.
It's my night. Yeah.
If when you come up to him, if you can come that way.
I was enjoying this so much.
Softens the mood a little bit, doesn't it? Okay, so the reason I've laid out the red carpet today is because I want to talk to you about a red carpet event. You see, the Oscars is a red carpet event. It's probably one of the most well-known red carpet events, isn't it? And at the Oscars, you walk along the red carpet, and it's an award ceremony. The Oscars is an award ceremony where we can go and claim an award, okay? Now, I want to share with you today the 5 criteria to enter into this place of the Oscars. And not many of us have been to the Oscars, have we? Some of us have, so haven't we? Not many of us have been to the Oscars. But I want to share with you the 5 criteria that I believe that you must have in order to be able to enter into that place. Now, the first point is you must be a VIP, okay? You must be a very important person. And if you're a VIP, the second thing is that you will receive an invitation. You receive an invitation to the event. The third thing is very important. You must respond to the invitation. Now, the fourth thing is that there's a dress code, okay? The Oscars is a black tie event, okay? So you get suited and booted, you're all ready to go, you're all looking good, and you're in your black tie, and you're ready to walk along the red carpet. And as you get to the door, you're met by security, and this is the 5th and final thing. They're going to check to see if your name is written on the guest list. They're going to ask you your name, you're going to tell them your name, and if you've responded to the invitation, your name is going to be found in the guest list. If your name is found in the guest list, you can enter in to that place to claim an award. Now, I said to you, it's an analogy of heaven, yeah? This is the Oscars. but this is the event of the Oscars. But what I want to tell you about is a place, right? Not a place where you get temporal awards, but a place where you get eternal rewards.
Amen.
So let's go through this same scenario, but now we're talking about the place of heaven. Now I want to tell you there's the same five criteria in order for us to enter into this place to be with God for all of eternity. Now the first thing is that you must be a VIP. You must be a very important person. And each and every one of you, everyone in the room and everyone watching online, you are a very important person to God. And because you are a very important person to God, he has given you an invitation. He has given you an invitation to be with him for all of eternity. But what we must do is the third thing. We must respond. We must respond to the invitation of God. When we respond to the invitation of God, he's going to do the fourth and the fifth thing for us. Okay? There's a dress code in heaven. The dress code in heaven, Jesus will clothe us in the righteousness of Christ and give us white garments. Okay? We will be dressed, ready, and prepared when we respond to God's invitation so that we can walk along the red carpet. And this time, we're not going to be stood in front of a security guard. This time we're going to be stood before the righteous judge. And when we stand before the righteous judge, he's going to ask us our name. And when we tell him our name, he's going to look to see if our name is in the guest list. Brothers and sisters, you know that there is a guest list in heaven, and it is called the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Now, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have responded to God's invitation, he has clothed you in his righteousness, your name will be found in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you may enter in to be in that place where God is for all of eternity. Now, just to tie it into my message earlier on, we all have a mission to fulfill. We all have been given an assignment by God. And there are eternal rewards in heaven that we can claim, but we must fulfill the mission that God has called us to fulfill. So what is God's invitation? Well, we know that God is inviting us to that place, but I want to give you a clear invitation. That's everybody in the room and everybody watching online. You see, God's invitation is good news. But it's good news that we can be reconciled back to the Father, come back into a relationship with him through Christ Jesus. So I want to give you a clear gospel presentation today. See, God created each and every one of us to have a personal relationship with him. But our sins, they separate us from God. Now, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are good enough to be with God in this place for all of eternity. Now, no amount of good deeds or good works can reconcile us, can bring us back to the Father. That's why God done one thing for us, and he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross at Calvary for your sin and for my sin.
Thank you, Lord.
So that we could come back and have an opportunity to be in that place with him for all of eternity. But we have to respond to that invitation. We have to respond to the invitation of God. But the promise of God is anyone who puts their trust in him and him alone for their salvation will receive eternal life, and they will be able to be with him in the place of heaven for all of eternity. So I want to give you the opportunity today to respond to God's invitation. But before I do that, I want to share a quote with you. I wrote this quote down in my Bible maybe a year or two ago, and I couldn't find out who's wrote it, so I'm just going to say it's unknown. I did look online, but I couldn't find. But the quote says, "No one will be in hell because of their sin. They will be in hell because they have rejected the provision that God has made for their sin."
Amen.
Now, to better suit my message today, I want to read it again with an added couple of words. And now it reads, "There will be no one in hell because of their sin. They will be in hell because they have rejected the invitation and not responded to the provision that God has made for their sin." We say church words, don't we, when we're in church? We hear it from the pulpit, we hear it online when we watch sermons. But I implore you today, be reconciled to God. Now, if you're not saved, you might not know what that means, so I just want to make that clear. To implore someone means to beg someone earnestly or desperately to do something. How often don't we implore someone to be reconciled to Christ? It's important. It's the most important thing that we can do. In the whole of the human race, it's the most important thing that we can do to be reconciled back to the Father. So I implore you today, I earnestly beg you to make a decision, if you haven't already, to put your trust in Christ. Respond to his invitation today. For today is the day of salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as we often say from up here in the pulpit, praying a prayer doesn't save you. But acknowledging what Christ has done for you and putting your trust in him and him alone, that will save you. So, church, I want to give anyone an opportunity who feels led to respond to God's invitation today. So I just ask you to all bow your heads, please, and pray with me. Lord, I thank you for your invitation to be with you for all of eternity. I believe you died for my sins and rose again on the third day. I trust in you alone to be my Saviour. I thank you for clothing me in your righteousness and writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for being my Saviour. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, either for the first time or you've rededicated your life, then I want to just ask you to do something really brave. And this isn't to embarrass you, okay? But this is so that we can just celebrate with you. If you've made that decision to respond to God's invitation today, I just ask you to raise your hand just so that we can celebrate with you. Is there anyone here today who has made that decision to put their trust in Christ? Amen. Anybody else? Well, for the lady at the back and for anyone who's online who has made that decision to put their trust in Christ today, I just want to say to you, welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the family of God. If you're online and you've made that decision to put your trust in Christ today, please get in touch with us so we can help you on your journey, so we can give you some information, either about the church or churches in your local area. Either we can send you some literature or whatever you need, we can try and help you with it. So please just contact the church office. I just want to end, as I started, by again just saying thank you to everyone for your prayers and your support in the lead up to me sharing today. And I just ask that you continue to show the same love and support to all the other speakers who are going to be speaking over the next couple of months. So bless you all. Thank you.